Well, joining us now with more analysis is Radio Boston's Political Roundtable, Susan Tracy, former Democratic State Representative and President of the Strategy Group. Welcome back, Susan.
Thanks, Magda.
And Nancy Dwight, former Executive Director of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Good to see you again as well, Nancy.
And great to be here.
So let's start where we left off there with Monica Brady reporting from Tampa and this continuing line of Massachusetts Republicans who are spreading the word about Mitt Romney at the convention. I wonder, you know, how effective is this going to be for Mitt Romney when it comes to winning the GOP faithful themselves? Because, for example, I mean, former Governor Romney has spent much of the campaign so far actually running away from his Massachusetts record. So, Nancy Dwight, let's start with you on that.
Well, I think what you're going to see now going forward, we've only have about 75 days to go. And at this convention, what Mitt and his people are going to do is reintroduce him and introduce him to people who might not know him. So you're going to hear the terms likability factor. You're going to hear the terms family. They're going to paint the broadest picture possible. Also keep in mind, Mitt Romney has been campaigning for president for 8 years. He has been through a lot of these delegations in a lot of these states, and they know him. And now what they want to see him doing is talking about how he is going to go forward and win in this election.
Susan?
I think it's a really delicate balance at this convention because you have an extremely conservative base that you're trying to energize and get excited, and I think Romney has had a hard time doing that. But the reality is all the play right now is to a very small group of voters in a few number of states, and it's this, you know, middle of the road, undecided, probably more moderate vote base. So in some ways it makes strategic sense to focus on family and likability, because you can't focus on that party platform, which criminalizes abortion, which is really tough on immigration issues, which is speaks to the Defense of Marriage Act, talks about military superiority. You want to stay away from those issues. Those are not going to appeal to the voters that need to be spoken to. So I think it's just a strategy. Likability is going to work for everybody.
Nancy, let me ask you about that, because you've been to many of these Republican conventions. How much does the platform matter, not only just to the party, but to Romney himself as he takes his campaign forward out of Tampa?
The platform will be in the rearview mirror of Tampa. I mean, it will be voted on, it will be put on the shelf, and that will be it. This election is about President Obama's record, and that is precisely going out of this what the focus will be on, and it'll be on the economy and on jobs and all of those issues, and not on the issues that the platform has addressed.
In that case, how much does the convention itself matter? I mean, it seems to me that on the one hand, if Governor Romney and then next week we'll see President Obama playing to this very narrow slice or a slice within a slice of their own parties, honestly, at this point in time, what's the point beyond firing up that base and maybe seeing a ripple effect in terms of the ground game thereafter? Nancy?
Well, I think Susan and I would agree on this, and that is that these conventions these days and at this time are more and more unnecessary in terms of the 4 days or even 3 days. The fact of the matter is, in this convention year, if you put the security costs together between the Republican convention and the Democratic convention, it's over $120 million being spent on security. I mean, that's just absurd, in my opinion. I'm hoping out of this, both parties will get together, figure out a far more effective and efficient way to nominate their candidates.
I actually think this convention could become a liability to Romney. I know you'd want to put the platform in your rearview mirror, and I would, too, if that was my platform and I was going after the vote base I was going at. I don't think it's going to be so easy, especially given what happened in Missouri with Congressman Aiken and his remarks about abortion. I think that those issues, especially, it's a very narrow group of people who are going to be deciding this election. You know, every poll we see, 45% to 47% of the people are sort of locked in on each side. So I do think these kind of issues become really prominent, and I think it's going to be hard, you know, Etch-a-Sketch away. I think it's going to be difficult to just make all of these things go away.
So you think in that case, this year around the convention matters?
I think that the issues In this platform are a liability. I do.
Okay. Well, let's move on to an issue that both of you brought up a minute or two ago, and that's this likability factor, because as we heard, Mitt Romney's wife, Ann Romney, will be speaking tonight in that primetime spot of 10 p.m. Eastern. And it seems to be part of the campaign's focus in recent weeks on Mitt Romney, the family man, presenting this more private and personal part of him. He's been making himself more available to answer questions about his non-political life. And, for example, here's a clip from a CNN documentary called Romney Revealed, Faith or Family, Faith, and the Road to Power. It aired just last night, and you'll hear Ann Romney speaking about her struggle with multiple sclerosis.
Even when I was as sick as that, he would curl up in the bed with me. So you just knew that that's where he was. It was like he was going to do anything he could to just say, I'm here, you're okay, just stay right there, and we'll be okay.
A very humanizing moment there that Ann Romney shares about her husband. But I also wonder, there's a recent Washington Post ABC poll that says when it comes to likability, only 25% of those people polled actually found Mitt Romney to be more friendly or likable, compared to 64% regarding likability with President Obama. So, Nancy, in those 70 or so days can he scratch back from 27 to 25%?
Yes, he can. I'm sure he can. That same poll, it was not just the disparity on likability, but it was how many people knew him. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the point. And that's what tonight, tomorrow, and finally Thursday night, when he speaks, you'll have a far better sense of him. And then going forward, this is going to be an intense, expensive campaign, particularly if you live in one of the 7 to 9 battleground states, which we will feel we do, and even in Massachusetts, because New Hampshire is one of those. So we will see the messaging that comes out.
I think Romney's been very guarded about who he is. I think he's been guarded about his finances. He's been guarded about his work. So it's not surprising that people feel like they don't know him. I think it's a smart strategy to have his kids come out and speak and his wife come out and speak. I think it does humanize him. But I think there's a reason he has to do that, which is I feel that he has been a very guarded, you know, you mentioned that he'd been running for 8 years. It's kind of amazing to be running for 8 years and still have people feel not accessible. And I think some of it is a lifestyle thing. He's a very wealthy man. He's not accessible to the average person.
Nancy, well, you want to respond to that?
Well, I also believe that with Mitt and Ann Romney, what we have is a classic, in some ways, I don't want to say simple, but in some ways, not a complex story. I mean, we have somebody who, they were married young, they had 5 children, they raised them, they're all married, they have many, many grandchildren. Yes, he was successful, and all of that's revealed. And I thought the CNN show last night was terrific in portraying all of that. But, I mean, there's not a lot of complexity here. There's not Bill Clinton's story or John McCain's story or others that you have to really explain over time. And I think that's what we're all getting used to now.
But on the other hand, you would think that that might have been exactly the reason why he wouldn't have been afraid to share his story, because it could have resonated as familiar to so many people.
Well, in a way, yes. I mean, I think he's, like a lot of people, had a hard time talking at times about his faith, and that's a key part of his story. And I think he will address that, I'm guessing, over the next 3 or 4 days.
Let's turn now, if we can, to the big race happening here in the state of Massachusetts, and that, of course, is the Senate race. And new fundraising numbers are out for both the campaigns of Senator Scott Brown and challenger Elizabeth Warren. Warren has raised $3.7 million in the last 6 weeks compared to Senator Scott Brown's $2.3 million. But regarding total amounts of what's been raised, Senator Brown still leads with his $14.2 million in his campaign coffers compared to $12.3 million in Elizabeth Warren's coffers. Still projected to be the most expensive Senate race definitely in Massachusetts history. So, Susan Stracy, let's start with you. What do these latest round of fundraising numbers tell you?
They tell you exactly what the polls are telling us. This is a really competitive race, that people are engaged in it, that there is money, you know, local money and national money on both sides coming into this race. This is a real, you know, race to watch, and I think some of the strategy on it is going to be very interesting, especially as we come out of Labor Day.
Nancy?
Well, what's exciting about it, from a professional standpoint, is that $14.2 million and the $12.3 million, that's the money they have in the bank. They've raised more than that. They've spent a lot of what they've raised over the summer. But that's what they have now going forward in 2 months. It means they'll have the flexibility to respond or to change or to move their advertising around. We will see a real real campaign, and it will. There's no question it will be close. I've been hugely impressed with the way Scott has tried to keep identified with the local community focus of his candidacy, and I think she will probably move more in that direction.
And briefly, in the last minute or so that we have, I'm curious to hear from both of you. Other folks have commented on this, but how much do you think national level issues, aside from the economy, I mean, I'm specifically thinking abortion, women's rights, etc., as we've seen resonating at the national level, are going to actually play in a, you know, in a tangible way when it comes down to voting day here in Massachusetts in the Senate race? Susan, let's start with you.
I found myself reflecting on this a lot, and I thought about our state electing Republican governors. And what I find myself thinking in that case is we elect Republican governors as a check on a Democratic legislature. I think electing a Republican senator to join a pretty conservative Republican national party is a very different choice for a voter. And I think my instinct is what's different, why Bill Weld had a hard time winning. What's different is that in order to be a significant player in Washington, which presumably is what we want, you either have to become part of that establishment or you have to go against them, and then you're powerless.
Hmm. Nancy?
Well, and I think this will be an interesting thing to watch this year, because Scott Brown is the kind of Republican that needs to be elected, and I think this will be one of his messages, to go down there and be able to negotiate with the Democrats, because that's exactly where we have to go after January, is a less abrasive, less ideological Republican. When we have Scott in Massachusetts and we have Charlie Bass running up in New Hampshire, very, very similar races, two pro-choice Republicans.
Hmm. Nancy Dwight is the former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Always great to have you, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Susan Tracy is a former Democratic state representative and head of the strategy group. Susan Tracy, thanks as well, always.
Thanks, Magda.
Stay with us. Up next, new recommendations on circumcision from the American Academy of Pediatrics stir up controversy. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.